This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media, combined with thought we throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to join in the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love of Pop Culturist on your buddy, head to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and phone cases and mugs and hoodies, everything with a logo smacked on it. It's then and there.
The
only thing
they
don't have is hats and or backwards hats. We have 2 backwards hats.
Unfortunately, I don't leave the house without some kind of head apparel, so missing a good marketing opportunity here.
Yeah, it's I was really bummed when they didn't offer hats, but we can like get a, they offer pillowcases. We can just do one and just like wrap around your head, make a beanie out
like
of it.
A bandana.
Yeah, like a bandana. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, come on.
No. No. The high enough risk in Geelong of getting stabbed walking the streets as there is.
You don't want to wear like gang colours.
Yeah, I don't want to, yeah. Get like pulled over by like the Mallop Street cops. Like, you know, pop C and they're like, pat me down.
What's this?
Yeah, what's.
And then getting anally searched.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that'll be okay.
Yeah, that part, that's the good part. Yeah. It's the getting arrested. Like,
I need a good.
There's no like record of how many times you've been like searched in the anus. Yeah. But like,
I do need a good cleansing down there. that'd be good.
Oh, good start. Hey, Ben, friend.
Yeah, well, running a business.
Yeah, as you said last week, your parents are away. So
they're away till next
play,
Tuesday.
You work every day.
Yeah, that's a big adjustment to what I got used to. I mean, I worked every day for 15 years, and then you know, had my 7 months of diddly squat, but yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, the phone rings all the time, and Mum's always complaining about how often the phone rings. I'm like, it can't be that bad. It's that bad. It's probably 7 or 8 phone calls an hour.
You need a call center. That's what you need.
Yeah, I am the call center.
You know my pain.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm trying to do anything, some fucker calls you.
Except you're working for yourself and not for someone else.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Right.
So yeah, the 2 games I'm really interested in playing right now, I can't because they don't lend to being able to get up and walk away. So The Division and Monster Hunter, because Monster Hunter's had a few things going on, which I'll get to in the news. So yeah, I can't like take a phone call when I'm fighting Anjanath, or take a phone call in The Division when I'm in the Dark Zone. I did muck around in the Dark Zone for a bit though.
Well, we explain why you went back to Division and what you're thinking of it in general before we jump.
Well,
into
I mentioned last week why I went back, because they announced the Division 2. I'm like, oh, I'll get back in. EB Games had pre-owned for $23. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I haven't got to the point, I think, where a lot of the changes I can take advantage of.
I think a lot of the big changes are DLC too.
Yeah, and it's all like end game stuff. There's a few things I don't remember there being there at start, like recalibrating your weapons, so like optimizing the stats for what you want, your firepower, your stamina, or your techniques, like for your skill power and stuff. So I think that's new, but I haven't mucked around with that. I am further than where I got originally by like one zone. But the Dark Zone is just
It's relentless now, isn't it?
No, because it's separated into level brackets.
Okay.
Yeah? So you go like 15 to 19 and then 20 to 25 and then so on up to the max level. But it's just a real like cool idea that I don't really recall being in any other game in that kind of format. So like, you know, you go into the Dark Zone, the PvP area, there's your events and stuff, but other players can go rogue and kill you, and then you drop your stuff and they take your stuff. And any loot you pick up, you can't just walk out with. You have to extract it because it's contaminated because it's in the Dark Zone. So it's really unique, like cat and mouse with other players. Like, you know, friendly, not friendly. Are you going to shoot me in the back? And then you're trying to extract your loot. And then the NPCs come and they're all really hard. And then you see like a squad of 4 players coming out. It's just such an intense experience.
Well, explain the.
I did have a cool run in with another person. I was just about to turn the game off, actually, and I was walking to the exit of the Dark Zone because I had nothing to extract because I'm shit. And he runs up to me. He's like, got his gun at me. He wasn't rogue, though, so I don't know why I was intimidated, but I don't think I remembered, like, because their name goes red when they've gone rogue, and it was still white, but he points, like, he had his voice chat on, like, hey, man, you want to group up? And I did have a mic, so I'm like, fuck. So I just kept like walking the exit. He's like, stop. Hey, man, do you want to group up? Last chance. And I'm like, with my cat, I'm like, no. I pointed my gun left and right. And he's like, okay. Sorry, man, I can't risk you shooting me in the back. Bah, 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 it kills me. And like in other games, that probably would have pissed me off. But that interaction.
In that pressure.
Well, that interaction in that area, like it fit the tone of the Dark Zone very well, I think. Because it's, you know, you either like, are you friendly? Do you want to group up? And if they say no, it's like, well, I can't really risk you walking away and killing me when I'm trying to extract my cool loot and stuff. So, you know, that interaction was really cool. And I kind of died and I respawned back. I'm like, ha, that was awesome. And then turned the game off.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm going to fuck him up.
No, I couldn't.
Go back here.
Even though it was the same level bracket, I was 15 and he was 19. So there was a pretty big difference there. But no, it was cool. I'm enjoying it. It is getting a bit samey towards the end because, you know, you go to a new area and then you've got like your medical supply quests and your security supply quests, which are all the same quest, just in a different kind of location. Story missions aren't bad, because the story is pretty much, from what I've gathered so far, is trying to figure out where this virus came from and how. And it is pretty interesting as well. So I know I'll play it to at least finish the main campaign story off, so I'm kind of up to date for the Division 2, because I'm only probably about 5 hours away from it. But I don't know if it's something I'll like farm the end game, because now I don't really see a point being this late to the party with number 2 coming out. I don't see a reason to jump in now and try to like min-max your gear and all that stuff, but I do want to finish off the story just so I kind of know where everything is.
Yeah, I did consider it when you were like, hey, I'm going to jump back in. I was like, all right, well, have a look. So I went to the shops and I was like, $20. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get a lot of time out of this. And I just didn't. I made that decision. I was like, I was considered it. And I was like, I probably will not get, because I traded this. I don't trade games in. But I traded Division in a while back. I'm like, okay, I traded this for a reason. You know what I mean?
You traded it because you don't like being behind your friends.
That too. That's part of it. But I think I didn't overly love it either. Same reason I don't love Destiny. It's like, I'm not a big fan of the bullet sponge shit.
Yeah. We had fun though, originally.
Yeah, like when you start, it's fun. And then the more you get, you're just like...
No, I'm fine. I'm finding the AI gets a bit better towards where I am now. Like they're starting, there's more of them to start with, and they're starting to like actively try to like flank me and stuff, and it makes it a bit, you have to strategize, like how am I going to do this? So
very nice. Yeah,
I know, I'm enjoying it. What about you?
I've done a lot this week actually. So with the, as you mentioned last week, with the the Razor Thresher, I wanted to put it through its paces. I'm playing a bunch of different games, sort of see how the all sound works and all the 3D space and whatnot and surround sound. So I jumped back into Wolfenstein 2 after last week's recording, finished it. The game is fucking fantastic. You know, like I gave it my game of year without even finishing it last year, and then I did the last run of it.
To be fair, you couldn't have given a game of year to a game you did finish, because it would have by default been Uncharted.
Yeah.
Because you didn't finish anything.
That's true. I've finished 300% more games than I did last year.
debatable.
Fuck you. So finished Wolfenstein. The game is absolutely fantastic and batshit insane. Spoilers. Do you plan on playing it?
No.
All right, cool. So there's a particular moment where the angry German chick from the start of the game catches up to you, captures you, and decapitates you.
Okay.
You survive the decapitation,
right?
So she, you get trialed, but it's essentially a big TV spectacle. The whole idea is just for them to show the masses that they've killed Terror Billy, as they call him, because he's a terrorist. So they big stage, you know, big Nazis, big flags, you know, and then like chop your head off, and they throw it down into a pit of flames. But there's a couple of bars down the part of the pit, and there's like a drone there that catches it and fucks off with it. And then all your buddies like, and they just jam blood in you and put you in a little container, and you get this cool Robo Ken doll body.
That's funny that they've done that, because you know there are reports of that, you know, you do for like a very short period of time, you're still aware after decapitation. Yeah,
there was like 15 seconds. Yeah. They're like, go, 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 go.
Yeah. Because, you know, for medieval times with like guillotine and all that, you know, people say it's just the nerves, like the eyes blinking and the mouth going and stuff. But then there are other reports like, no, there is brain activity. Like, what? Yeah, that's really kind of fucked up.
Until it runs out of oxygen.
Yeah, and dies out. You know, blood and everything else.
Yeah. So that's nuts. And then at some point, you work out that they're filming a movie
about the capture and murder of Terra Billy. So you pretend to be an actor to go be in this movie to sort of like take out the big lady, because they know she's there. Oh, I should mention this base is on Venus.
Yep.
There's a real turning point. It was just before I finished it, like before last time I played it. So I played up until like just past Roswell. So I'm like, oh man, we're in Area 51. Like there's aliens and shit. I'm like, this is kind of cool. Doesn't understand there's alien tech. And then I'm like, all right. And then I stopped playing. And I came back and just fucking escalated from then on. So you're on Venus. Hitler's there. He's the producer of the film. So he's, you know, there in the room. So there's an actual trophy. So he's clearly sick. And he's like coughing and spluttering and vomiting and pisses in a bucket near you. And it's like, he's clearly just a crazy person at this point. Or crazier person. Mm. And they have to get you to go act out this scene in this. They're like, okay, we've got this space. There's a guard in there. You need to show us how you do an action scene. Blah, blah, blah. Hitler lies down near it to watch. And you have to walk past him to get to the room. So as I walk past, I stop and look at him like, fuck you. I turn around, I booted him in the face. Like, bing, trophy. I'm like, hey! I don't need to upstairs to shoot me. But but the game is nuts. Oh, and side note, you do get to fight your dad. And that's very rewarding.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's so rewarding.
The one that shoot your dog.
Yeah,
shot, man, your dog.
Fuck him up, something good. Because just after you do the Roswell stuff, like you're driving back to, you know, your submarine. And there's a turn off to where you're, you know, where you're from. You go, alright, cool. So you get to wander around the house. You get to get a lot of flashbacks. You know, one of the biggest problems at the start of the game. Well, at the start of the game, the biggest problem with the father is he's mentioning that you as BJ, you were hanging out with an African-American child.
Mm.
So you get a lot of flashbacks to him playing with the African-American child and like what their relationship was. And it was really cool. It was such an innocence to it.
In comparison to the rest of the game.
Yeah. So like when he's sitting there trying to catch tadpoles and cheese, he's like, hi, I'm Billy. What's your name? He's like, I'm Billy too. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm catching tadpoles. He's like, oh, there's tadpoles up here. I'm like, oh, cool. It's like, yeah, but I'm not allowed to hang out with you.
Mm.
Why? And they're like, oh, because my dad said blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, my dad said blah, 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 blah about the white man. I'm like, oh, you want to catch tadpoles? Yeah. And then they run off. You know what I mean? And then like, yeah, it's them developing sort of a friendship and sort of shows some of his humanity. Like, they're in the barn and a rat falls into a mop bucket and it's drowning. And she's like, dude, Billy, what are you doing? Like, save him, save him. He's like, nah, I'm like, it's a fucking rat. It's vermin. Doesn't matter. And he's like, no, save him, man. And then he has that moment of like, you see her, she starts to cry a little bit. And kind of see him go, oh. And then pushes it. Like, you know, it's a cooler sort of moment of humanity from BJ. And you sort of start to see where
Blast. Like, oh, I can fuck her if I please her.
But then you can sort of see the beginning of the humanity, that like what makes him become the character that he is. You know what I mean? It's like those little moments of, and his dad. Oh, and you come to realize that his dad like ratted out his mum. He was a Jew. So when the Nazis took over America, like he got himself a nice mansion and shit out of it.
So his dad was just a big piece of shit.
And when you fucking punch him square in the face, oh, so good. And in the end, you take on so final scene, because it's so fucking fantastic, is the evil German.
We'll get to the news soon.
Yeah,
don't worry.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
I played a bunch of things. So evil German lady's there. She's on like what is like the date, like kind of like the Letterman, right? I think it's the Johnny Carter show they're taking the piss out of. And she's there talking about how she took out Terra Billy and whatnot, and you've survived. So you essentially, you know, run across the top of the studio, like all those, oh, sorry, you know, the like scaffolding stuff above it. You take the elevator down, and then you step on the stage, and they're like, what the? And you just axe her square in the face. And it's like, and it's like visceral. Like, I'm talking like, whenever there's an argument about why, you know, violence in video games, this is one of those scenes.
Mm.
However, because she's a Nazi, who cares?
Context.
Context. The context of this is a horrible woman, a horrible Nazi, and like you destroy her.
Deserved
face.
Much worse.
Oh, so good.
Cool.
Love that game. It's fantastic. Also played Rogue Legacy because it was on the PS4. It's been on there for ages, and really jumped into it.
I hate that game.
It's kind of fun.
I
don't like the ever changing stuff. It kind of makes me realize that I can't learn. But yeah, you can lock down particular maps, which is kind of fun. Yeah. I played another PS Plus game from way back called BMX Plus. I think it's just one of those games.
Is it as good as Matt Hoffman was?
No, not even close. Yeah. So the whole idea is like from A to B, you know, do as many tricks. It's like side scrolling. So it's like, do this trick, get this amount of points, blah, blah, blah. Just some fun, chill time. Mm. And picked up Bloodborne on Wednesday for the stream. Bloodborne is good. Like, really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm enjoying
it. It's not bad.
I'm enjoying it a lot. Like, I didn't... Like, in the 2 hours something that I played in the stream, I thought I was going to get, like, fucking pounded. Mm. I died, like, 20 times.
It's not as bad as it's made out to be.
Yeah, but I think I bet... Like, after playing, like, Neo, which is a game I died in literally 10 seconds.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First enemy.
Where, you know, I lasted, you know, like, 20, 30 minutes in this, and sort of, like, it was, like, long stretches of time before I was dying. And I think Monster Hunter actually helped me, you know, sort of understand the duck and the attack and the timing and watching the...
Patience.
The patience, yeah. So I'm enjoying that. So I did way better than I thought I was going to, and it's really fun. And, mm-hmm. like, I don't know whether I'll ever eventuate to Dark Souls, because I think Bloodborne's the right speed for me.
Mm.
But not
Dark Souls 3 is a bit faster than the rest of them. Mm. Still got, like, your shield and stuff. Mm. yeah, but I tend to play those games for probably... maybe 4 or 5 hours, and I'm like, okay, I've had enough now.
I wouldn't have paid for it, so I'm glad it's free.
Oh, it's like $12.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I didn't think I would get enough enjoyment out of it to pay for it. But having that it's free, I'm probably getting more fun out of it because of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think in Bloodborne, I killed about 4 bosses, and I was like, yep, okay, you know. And same with Dark Souls 3, I think I've killed about 4 bosses, and I'm content with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. I don't have the patience... or the want to get good. I would just love it if there was a mode with no enemies so I could just run around and look at cool shit, because they do have some very cool, you know, aesthetics and scenery. Yeah.
And then also spend a little time with MLB The Show 17, because 18 comes out on Friday. Sort of get back into the swing of it. And pun intended, because
baseball.
Yeah, baseball. And oh, I did download American Dream on VR. I haven't played it yet, though. That's the one where everything's guns.
Yeah.
Apparently it's dumb and stupid. Which is exactly what I want.
Which is America.
Yeah, because yeah, having played the demo at PAX I mentioned last week, like, I was like, yep. And then I bought it and I was like, I haven't played it yet, but I'm probably going to play it this afternoon, I think.
Cool.
Very keen. Now, that's about what we've been playing.
That's what Ryan's been playing.
Yeah, I played a lot this week. Like, normally I don't play, like, I play like one or two things. So, you know, this week there's no movies I had to watch. Everything was like all well and good.
That's where your problem came from, never finishing a game, though, is you're playing 4 or 5 different games a week. Don't fall back into that.
No, because, like, there's not a lot of new games coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we've got the new MLB coming out this Friday, which I believe PlayStation might be helping us out there. Then we've got Far Cry in 2 weeks. Next week. So, like, Far Cry will kind of tide me over until God of War, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, from the end of March to, like, mid-April...
Later.
So I don't have a lot of games lined up. I'm not. We're the end of the year, we're going to be pretty stacked, but I want to try to get as much as I can done before then.
There's not a lot at the end of the year, is there?
It will be. There's a lot of 2018 games, which are likely to come out at the end of the year.
But, like, I know I won't be getting COD. I'm probably not getting Red Dead.
I'll get Red Dead for sure.
Nothing else really comes to mind.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, like, Smash will come out this year, but it doesn't really...
Yeah, I'll definitely get Smash.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Anyway, that's enough about what we've been playing. Let's drive into the section where we tell you about the PlayStation news that's happened this week.
Go on, then.
What?
Let's start with your bit of news. Oh. You wanted to add something in, so let's do that first.
Yeah, in local...
Because I think that's probably the most interesting bit of news.
Yeah, so in local news... here in Australia, we would have 2 conventions a year. We would essentially big gaming conventions. We would have EB Expo in early October and PAX Australia in early November, late October. There was announced last week that they're now joining forces to one super ultra mega convention, which is pretty much PAX Australia featuring EB Expo. So it's very much PAX is bigger, EB Expo is becoming part of it. There's looking to be, rather than one mega convention, it's like, yeah, PAX with a small part of it being EB Expo, which I'd like to think they'll have their big shop there. They'll have a lot of their bigger sort of things. Because EB Expo, comparatively to PAX, EB Expo was very much about the AAAs. It was about the big games that are happening, that are coming, that are early releases. Because the whole idea of it is, because it's run by EB Games, here's games that you want to pre-order, here's games that you want to play, you want to buy.
Yeah.
Where PAX is very much, it has that section, but a lot of it's very indie focused, very, you know, PC focused, very, like, as in not just
parts
and stuff. Yeah. So for me personally, I fucking love EB Expo, and I'm so sad to hear that it's crumbled.
I enjoyed the expo.
I love the expo.
I enjoyed our trips.
When we're not yelling at
each
other. But
they were getting too expensive.
They were getting expensive.
You know, yes, we normally did and still do get the media passes for them, but like this year, if we had to travel for EB Expo, I wouldn't have gone.
Mm.
I'm not in a position to just drop $1,500 because...
Yeah, between the three of us, it was
$500. No. That's for the accommodation and travel, but you spend nearly $500 to $1,000 while you're there. You got to get food, travel, we got all the rest of it, and obviously the shop as well. So I don't think I would have gone there. So I'm happy about that. What I'm not looking forward to is PAX was fucking packed. And
already,
and you know, I do get a bit of claustrophobia just because of my height, I think, because I'm looking at assholes all day. Your face and people's actual bums.
Fuck you, thank you.
But it was so busy and so hard to get around, and the thought of taking those extra couple of thousand people. Mm. Now, the Melbourne Exhibition Centre is obviously bigger than where they've been holding EB Games, but whether they have to make use of different parts or different halls or, you know, spread it out a bit, because there is no way you're getting what was at PAX and what was at EB Expo into that one location. It's not going to happen. No. Or whether it is and they, you know, severely reduce tickets.
Mm.
But that's not okay.
That's
either.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely. So I'm stoked that we don't have to travel, even though I did enjoy our trips for the most part. But I'm honestly really not looking forward to going this year.
Yeah. See, like,
so I feel like it's just going to be a big clusterfuck.
I love the trip. The trip was my favorite part because it felt legit. You know, like we're actually going somewhere else to do something, you know, rather than driving into the city.
Not legit till you don't have to pay for it, though.
Yeah.
Until you get flown out by someone.
But like, that's why I loved the trip because it felt the most meteory for me. But I know that's very sad and pathetic, but that's what I loved about it. I loved... Because it is all AAA games. It is all the big games that are getting releases. They are happening.
So at EB Expo, we did get to do a lot of, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, there's
and
a lot of
appointments
cool shit we
with
get
developers,
to do.
Yeah. You know, interviews and all of that. Whereas PAX, we didn't, because they didn't tend to have, because the problem with us going to PAX is that 80% of it were like, well, we saw that a month ago at EB Expo.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what do we do?
We won't have that anymore, which is good.
So hopefully, you know, the connections we've made through EB Expo do carry over to this new.
It is a different PR company, so, but it's, we've dealt with PAX before, so we should be okay. We spend years working, trying to, you know, with the PR team for EB Expo, being like schmoozing our way.
Yeah, not even talking about like getting free passes or whatever,
not even
but
that,
more
just,
yeah. You know, we got to do a lot of cool things at EB Expo, you know, that have the media nights, you know, before the weekend that we could attend. Nintendo and Sony have both been very good at letting us do that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out, but at the moment, I'm dreading that weekend.
All I'm hoping is that there is that media night again. Because like we were there for 3-4 hours, and that gave us enough time to actively play everything and make videos about all of it.
Yeah,
you know, it is the benefit of being media. Like, it's the privilege of doing it is that, you know, we didn't have to worry about lines or anything. Like, we walked straight in to play Detroit. There was no fucking around.
Yeah,
it was nice and easy. It was fun, and we were able to make a ton of great content out of it. And I hope they bring that to PAX, because PAX we get an hour before everybody else.
Mm.
And you get, you know, now there'll be two conventions worth of people together. Yeah. Very, very, very busy.
Mm. But you can see how it plays out.
I'm curious to see how it tries out. I like that it's in Melbourne. Like, there's zero fucking around for us at all.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, like, maybe we'll try spring some accommodation, like, one of the nights. Yeah. Just to be like, so we don't have to, like, that way we can, like, get there early, do what we need, and then we don't have to travel in every day. I think one of the worst parts is the travel.
No, the worst part's the travel when you forget the fucking tickets.
Yeah.
When we're halfway fucking there. And we have to, turn around and go back.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
That part did suck. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was thinking of that, but, like, it's probably way too insane.
It's 45 minutes. It's
But then I'm the one that normally has to, like, except for last year where you drove the one day, like, normally it's me driving, and I'm just like, pfft. But anyway, that's like what it's like.
To catch a train. You guys didn't want to catch a train.
Yeah, because I like leaving when I can. Like, if I want to leave. Like, I hate waiting for fucking trains.
Well, then fucking drive.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
Yeah. I want someone else to drive. That's the problem.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did, and I appreciate it. And then I've got tickets.
Does Dylan even have a license anymore?
No, he has a license. I'm pretty sure.
Does he have a car?
No, his car's got rusty wheels at the front of his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dylan in a sentence.
But let us know if you're going to be making your way to PAX Australia, because we'll certainly be there without a doubt. I've already taken the time off, getting there nice and easy. Getting an extra day on either side. because we're gonna make, because now we're gonna make two conventions worth of content in one weekend.
No, I wouldn't call PAX a whole convention worth of content though.
No, no, but yeah, we would.
I get what you're saying.
Because we wouldn't, because we would get it all done at EBX, but
yeah.
But yeah,
cool.
Keep moving forward.
Actual news number one.
Fuck you.
No, because I've got them numbered and I don't want to like lose myself.
Okay, that's cool.
In the moment, got to own it. Canadian rapper Drake has joined forces with popular Fortnite streamer Tyler Ninja Blevins, linking up for a game and smashing the record for the most concurrent viewers on Twitch in the process. The viewer count ended up at maxing at 628,000 people concurrently.
Wow.
Previous record was over 380,000 set back in January. Blevins' stream reportedly exploded after Drake tweeted about his Fortnite session to his 36.9 million followers. So that's fucking huge.
That's insane.
And it is cool.
Here we are with our 20.
Yeah. And it is cool to see like the worlds collide. You know, gaming and Drake is obviously, you know, one of the biggest names in music at the moment.
And he was on Degrassi.
I don't know why.
That's how I know him from. I know him from Degrassi. I
think his music's actual garbage. But nevertheless, he tweeted 37 million people and, you know, nearly over 500,000 people joined in on that stream, and that's huge. Now, because of that, Epic have announced a celebrity / pro gamer Fortnite session at E3 this year.
That's going to be sick.
And that's going to be horribly amazing.
Well, remember, I think it was Activision last year with Call of Duty. They had Snoop Dogg there, who's clearly high as fuck. He was there. Like, Zac Efron was there doing really bad.
Yeah. So, 100 celebrities. We're probably going to have a lot of, like, C and D list people that were in a commercial once or something. Drake might be there.
There'll be a couple of big pools, yeah.
But it also adds, I think, like, Drake and Tyler teaming up does add a certain air of like new legitimacy to video games, especially to that whole
Fortnite.
Yeah, and especially to that whole new crowd of people. Fortnite is, you know, at last year we were like, you know, PUBG is like, you know, revolutionized. It's not, it's Fortnite it's now. Fortnite are now. Like, we like that idea, we're going to do it our way. And their way is more popular. There's no arguing that.
Yeah, they didn't just copy it. They've
added, they've surpassed.
Yeah, they took and innovated.
Yeah, and it's more accessible. And obviously, being Epic Games
and cross-console,
they have that, the team and the knowledge and the background to be able to optimize it, and they communicate with their fans all the time. You know, they've got the whole, we can make a game, whereas Bluepoint are still kind of struggling with that. And you just don't hear about PUBG anymore. Rarely anyway. So this is huge for Fortnite, huge for gaming, and even though I don't really care for it, still very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Hey,
the wait time's getting, there are wait times to play it now.
I was playing with Alex last night and didn't have a wait time.
Maybe.
We weren't very good, so. Number two, after a week of speculation, Bandai Namco and CD Projekt Red have confirmed that Geralt of Rivia will appear as a guest in Soul Calibur 6. Geralt will be voiced by original voice actor Doug Cockle and brings with him Kaer Morhen to stage to fight across. The soundtrack will be Hunt or Be Hunted from The Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt. That's fucking cool as.
See, it's perfect.
Soul Calibur is the perfect game to have Geralt in.
Because they're weapons.
Because weapons and all that kind of, you know, you can't picture Geralt in any other fighting game. Soul Calibur just works, and the trailer, you know, had him using his signs, you know, you saw Ard and Igni and all that, and he seems to have very, like, the same kind of movements with his attacks as you do in The Witcher 3, so it doesn't seem like they've changed his kit. They've just, like, he's Geralt in Soul Calibur, and it is so cool. And it'll bring, I think, a lot of people over, because fighting games they're popular, but they are a niche-ish kind of market, yeah? And that brings a whole lot of other people over just to try it out. And Geralt is on the cover as well. Geralt and some other guy who's a long-time staple of the series.
See, like, I've not played many Soul Calibur since Soul Blade on PS1, so, like, I remember a couple, we've talked this a thousand times, like, I remember a couple of characters, but I couldn't tell whether they're still around anymore.
Astaroth, Cervantes, Nightmare, Cervantes, Voldo. Volvo, that's a car. Ivy.
Siegfried. Siegfried, yeah.
Ivy, Sophia.
Yep, Sophia was there.
The guy, but I'm sure there's been many more added.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm like, oh, is Cervantes still around? I'm like, no.
Is
like,
he not still around?
I'm just saying. Like, I'm like, is Voldo still around? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh.
I'm sure he is. He's
very iconic.
Yeah, that's very, very cool crossover, and it's good to see, because, you know, CD Projekt Red are quote unquote done with The Witcher, for now at least.
Mm-hmm.
But Geralt is such an iconic character to video gaming now. It's cool to see them willing to like license him out to other projects to appear in. Continuing with fighting news, players of Tekken 7 will have the opportunity to add another character to their roster as of this week, when Noctis Lucas Kalem, protagonist of Noctis is fine. Protagonist of Square Enix's Final Fantasy 15 will be made available as a DLC character. So yeah, fighting games are getting love.
Woo.
Geralt's much cooler though.
Very.
Geralt would kick Noctis' fucking ass. Little prissy boy. I call this news the big pickle.
Okay.
Because of the monster being added to this particular game. Monster Hunter World will receive a major free update on March 22nd, most notably adding classic monster Devil Joe. AKA the big pickle, because he looks like a big green T-Rex pickle. Capcom has also announced future events and new items, including a Mega Man crossover. Announced in a Capcom live stream, Devil Joe itself, Devil Joe quests, and all associated rewards will be dropped into the game with the update. Other major areas of change are reduced loading times, a couple other optimization things for that. So Devil Joe is an invasion type monster.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one that will appear when you're fighting something else. Like he invades your hunt. There's already one in the game called Basil Goose, who I fucking hate that asshole. So Devil Joe is apparently as big as the giant Anjanath from the Aloy quest. Now he's the most aggressive monster in the game. He will, if you cut off his tail, his story is he's always hungry, starving. That's why he's always so fucking mad.
Mm.
So if you cut off his tail, you cut off his tail, he'll eat it. And like get powered up, he will pick up other monsters and fight you with them. Like in the trailer, he picks up Great Jagras, and whereas Anjanath like eats Great Jagras, Devil Joe picks him up and beats you with him, like stuff like that. And apparently, if you get him in a pitfall trap, the trap where they like fall into the ground, mm-hmm. he will still like try to eat you while he's in that trap. Whereas other monsters are like, oh my god, help me, I'm stuck, they're gonna catch me. He's like still like mashing you, fuck everything. That's really cool. That's I'm excited because it's the first big monster they're adding, you know, in this free update. Also, they have given you the ability to change your character's physical appearance with a token
once off
for free, and then apparently not out yet. You can do that as of now, but it will be a microtransaction in the future. That's fine.
Cool.
It's totally cool. People are like, certain subreddits all up in arms. I've been in a few internet fights this week about it. I'm like, this is fine. I mean, you know, you make your character, you go, oh, didn't quite turn out how I wanted. Cool. Free for once, you get a full do-over, you can change your gender, you can do all that stuff. Cool. If you want to do it again, though, you got to pay. Cool.
What kind of indecisive fuck does it more than once?
And the thing is that Monster Hunter has never had this feature to fully redo your character. Monster Hunter World has, you can go to your room, you can change your hairstyle and your beard, but you can't change your gender, your facial features or anything like that. And there was petitions and all that kind of stuff. People like, please, because, you know, the Western market wants everything and wants it for free. So they're like, please, let us do this. And they're like, okay. So they went out of the way and added this feature. And a lot of people are pissy because you got to pay for it. But you get a free, I don't know. This is one of the weeks where I'm like, I hate the internet with such a rabid passion.
And like what I found interesting, because I don't dive into the Reddits and whatnot, all this information comes from you, is people are also like up in arms with the microtransaction of it. It's like, that is entirely cosmetic. Everyone's shitty at the go-to argument for microtransactions is, well, it's only cosmetic. And which, you know, most people are like, okay, just give me, everyone's like, oh, cosmetic DLC is fine, like cosmetic microtransactions are fine, like okay, here's one that's entirely cosmetic.
Plus you get it for free. Plus you get it for free once as well. So, you know, I think that's totally fine. I think it's a good thing because I really wanted to rechange my character, and I did so this morning, and I'm very happy with how it looks. Also, they announced one more crossover with Devil May Cry. You can get a Dante-themed armor and weapons in an upcoming event quest. The armor transforms your hunter entirely into Dante, or a gender-swapped female Dante.
Ooh,
who's very, very cute, if I must say so myself. So yeah, cool crossovers all around. And yeah, the Mega Man stuff I think is out later this week. It's a retro Mega Man outfit for your Palico.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all pixelated. Mm-hmm. Doesn't fit the aesthetic of the game at all, but it looks cool as. That's cool. Seems like every week we're getting updates on Stardew Valley. So here's another one. Stardew Valley multiplayer update has officially entered the quality assurance phase, and we'll bring some new single player content with it. when it finally does drop. Eric Barone, the game's creator, posted a status update to Twitter saying Stardew Valley multiplayer is in QA and bugs and fixes are being fixed at a very good pace. He also assured fans that there would be more to the update than just the multiplayer feature, saying that players can expect new single-player stuff and that the multiplayer functionality is just a layer on top of the existing game.
Now, I distinctly remember there was a comment that the multiplayer would be going to Nintendo Switch first, I believe. And there is a Nintendo Direct on the 20th of this month about another little indie showcase. So I'm expecting some there.
That'd be cool.
As I did say on Twitter, I hope they talk about it because I need to marry that buddy Watson.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Can you, like, adopt me or something? I do want to get back to it. I was actually the other day.
I played a little bit the other day, yeah.
Oh, because of this week, because I can't sit down and play games because of the phone and stuff. I did want to get back into it, start a new farm at one of the more difficult locations.
Ooh, good idea.
Like the river location or whatever else there was. I haven't done it yet, but the multiplayer update will get me to come back to it and probably, yeah, make a new farm and kind of go on with that. Fifth bit of news. Activision is said to be keenly aware of the successful Battle Royale formula of games like PUBG and Fortnite. The Dow Jones Newswire reports that following a meeting between Activision Blizzard and its investment firm Oppenheimer... The burp's not part of their name. Activision is reportedly keenly aware of how other game publishers have recently benefited from releasing titles in the popular Battle Royale genre. Management reminded investors that the company is a faster follower, Oppenheimer continued. While not an exact announcement, the implication here is that we may see some kind of Battle Royale mode make its way into an Activision franchise.
So this is the exact problem. Like, when it comes to big companies like this, where ones that truly... Because they are the full corporation, they are the full business.
The ones that should be innovating.
Yeah, the ones that should be innovating, they're the ones like, no, we're going to chase trends.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like Metal Gear did.
Yeah, exactly. Like, think about, I don't know, it's just kind of like when asynchronous multiplayer was a thing for a while.
The thing is, though, by the time they, like, let's say it's not part of Black Ops 4. Whatever they've got planned for Battle Royale, because they're going to do it. I guarantee you now, Activision are going to have some kind of Battle Royale mode in there. Whatever they have planned, let's say it's not in Black Ops 4 that comes out later this year, and they're going to release it in next year's COD game, the Battle Royale wave will be over by then. Same as Metal Gear tried to do with an open world survival thing. You know, they're a year or two too late.
And zombies are sort of...
Yeah, so they're a little bit too late, and while I'm sure... You know, it's Call of Duty is going to be popular. I don't know. I just have... It's hard to say because you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt that they will make it unique and will innovate on it. And that's what, you know, initially, you know, everyone's like, Fortnite are just copying PUBG, but now Fortnite's innovated and now that's the bigger and better thing. You know, could Activision innovate on Fortnite and do the bigger and better thing?
But it's Call of Duty. Like, Call of Duty is a straight-up shooter.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you can actively... Fortnite brought what it had in its... in Fortnite base, you know, whatever the fuck.
So we say there's no way you can bring it over, but that might be their point for innovation, where they kind of figure out a way to, like, make this really cool. And if it is cool, I'll play it.
I'll give it a burl.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think of, like, there's not... Because the whole point of Call of Duty is to run around and shoot each other. Like, there's no additional feature where PUBG had that. But is it Fortnite had, oh, let's bring the base building that we are using. Cool. Bring it in. Change the game completely.
Yeah.
Like, there are other Battle Royales on the way. We mentioned three weeks ago.
There's a fair few.
About
Paladins that, is doing one. There's that...
that monster one you're talking
monster
about.
Monster one. I forgot what it's called.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a cool idea. That's a cool twist on that genre.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But, like, I don't see Call of Duty bringing something that is actively different.
Yeah.
Pun intended, Activision.
Because, and the whole thing with Call of Duty is obviously leveling up in multiplayer to unlock new guns and new perks and new attachments. I could see it working, to be honest. I mean, you do start with nothing and you pick up the scar and then you find, you know, the extended map. Like, it would work.
The basis of what PUBG would... Like, you would essentially be PUBG in Call of Duty. That's what it would be.
In first person.
Then there's, like, which... PUBG has.
That would be the nail in the coffin, I think, for PUBG.
Honest.
If they if Activision legitimately mimicked what PUBG has and did it COD style with, you know, their power and their graphics and their quality assurance and all that.
It would be a better polished game.
It would be a better game, for sure. But PUBG is, I think, already losing its fire. So, I don't know.
Like, don't get me wrong, it's still got, like, millions of people playing it, but it's just... it's plateauing at this point, and it's going to start, it will start declining until they do more with it. Because like I think I can't remember which video it was that talked about this on YouTube, but they talked about how this the with PUBG and Blue Point did Shadow Colossus.
I think I said Blue Point earlier, so I meant
yeah, that's Blue Hole. So with Blue Hole focusing more on cheating players and that sort of stuff, they're actually not focusing on the actual development of the game, getting new maps, getting new weapons. Sorry, it's getting stale fast.
Yeah,
like they're pushing the right, like cheaters are very very important to clamp down on.
I don't know their business, but it just seems like Blue Hole need to hire more people.
Yeah.
Get the team going on the cheaters and get the other team developing. Apparently they... What?
So as if they can't afford it.
Yeah. I thought you said they can't afford it. That would be a fucking lie. Last bit of news for the week. Top selling games for the week ending 11th of March 2018. Starting at number 10, The Last of Us. Number 9, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 8, Destiny 2. Number 7, The Life is Strange. Whatever the new Life is Strange is. I couldn't...
Before the Storm.
I couldn't zoom in the thumbnail enough to like read it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I'm shit. Number 6, COD World War 2. Number 5, Monster Hunter World. Number 4, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number 3, Bravo Team. Number 2, GT Sport. Number 1, Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
I believe this week has come down to, there's a massive sale on the PSN right now of like, games you can only get on PlayStation. And they're all like, real cheap.
Okay. Naughty Dog have 2 games in there, so that's cool.
Very nice. Well, technically 3 with Crash and Insane Trilogy.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, they would still be getting royalties from that, wouldn't they?
So what's the segue into this one?
I don't know, it's your topic.
Yeah, but you do the segue.
Oh, okay. That's it for the news, Ryan. Let's move into the segment where we chat to the players about...
leaks. Not like as in like, I'm going to go to the toilet right now. No, as in news leaks, game leaks, that sort of stuff. So this week they announced officially Shadow of the Tomb Raider coming out in...
September.
I think it was September 14th, if I believe.
22nd, I thought.
Oh, I could be totally wrong. So, like, it's coming out sometime later this year, but almost everything about it was leaked prior to the game even come to before this announcement.
Wasn't it leaked by some dude on a train?
It was leaked about a year and a half ago with some dude on a train, and then
he's like working on files or something for.
Yeah, he was working on like a presentation for it, and the logo was very clearly there. Then on top of that, they released a teaser website saying that something's September 14. There it is. Bam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they had this little teaser website that's like, you know, come back at this time and we'll tell you something cool. And someone went into the code of it and went, yeah, it says it's Shadow Tomb Raider.
Yeah, apparently it was like right on like the front of the code as well.
Like, yeah, if you
like had our buddy Joel was saying, like, even the most basic HTML person could look at, and I probably could have like found it myself.
Oh, you still studying too, by the way.
Yeah. so yeah.
Good, yeah, it's like apparently the easiest thing is like break into the HTML, and it's like there's the.
You have to break into it. Right, like there. You can do it. There's a shortcut in Chrome where you just hit it. I forgot what it is, and it just shows you the HTML for the page you're looking at. So yeah, it's fucking stupid. It's the dumbest thing.
So that brought me to the question of like, what's your stance on video game leaks? They good? They bad? What do you think?
As a customer or a businessman?
Would you look at both ways?
As a customer, couldn't care less. I mean, it happens. But the thing is if someone leaks something and they're like, you know, my source says this and it's legit and all that, and no matter how legitimate it seems, you still have to like err on the side of caution for getting too hyped about it, because... sure, they might get the release date right, but if they leaked, you know, whatever else, and you get yourself hyped up for it, and then it's officially announced and it's not there.
Or a million may not even happen.
Or, yeah, it might not even happen at all.
Once again, this week as well, last week, there was essentially like, hey, on this day, you're going to hear about the Spyro trilogy. Yeah, well,
The guy who talked about that successfully predicted Black Ops 4.
I could predict
Black
Ops 4.
No, but like 2 months ago. Like, who's doing it, what it is, what they're working on, and a whole lot of other info.
Super Given, Treyarch, probably Black Ops 4. I'm sure there was more specifics
there.
There was more specifics in there
that have been confirmed.
But it's super easy to predict that.
but he's got a track record for, like, you know, these things, and he did say Spyro, but that was a miss. But people that have followed him over the years, he's been doing it, will be like, you know, he's never been wrong. He still can be wrong. No matter how reliable your source may be. But yeah, as a consumer of the medium, I don't really care about leaks. I mean, I get to hear about a game I may or may not want 2 weeks earlier than I should have. Cool beans.
Mm.
As a publisher, it'd fucking suck. Because, you know, you've got your date. You're like, you settle on your date or whatever you're doing. You know, maybe you've set that date for a reason because it coincides with something else.
Like Tomb Raider coming out with the release date of Tomb Raider, the movie.
Or God of... Well, this isn't true, but the God of War in next month is releasing at the end of the Aries star sign cycle thing. So that's cool, like a little tie-in and all that, yeah? Not that it means anything.
I think it's unintentional.
No, unintentional cool. Because, you know, whatever. But, you know...
Oh, for those that don't know, Aries in the astrological signs is like the ram, I think. But in Greek mythology, Ares was the god of war, and that's who you fight in the first one.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, a lot publishers can pick their dates based on certain things that might be special to them or might not be, whatever. But you plan everything around it.
Marketing, money.
Marketing, yeah, everything. And then to have it leak, one, that's fucking sucks. And two, you've got someone in your office you can't trust anymore. Mm. Someone is leaking stuff to the press or whoever else on the outside, and that would be much worse, I think, because they're... Everything you do from then you're wary, like, who is leaking this? I don't know who I can trust with this information. You could do what... Oh, wow. Game of Thrones. Peter Dinklage in, like, season 2, he told Varys one thing, Littlefinger another thing, and Cersei another thing. And then when it got back to him, like, when a rumor got back to him, he knew who it was because he only told that person that particular rumor. So he's like, yeah, it's you. But you can't do that in a studio with 100 people. Like, give him 100 different bits of snippets.
We're all telling you a different date.
But yeah, as a publisher, it would suck. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter at all. I don't believe it matters at all. Like, the industry as a whole, in everything taken into consideration, if something gets leaked 2 weeks early, I don't think that has any repercussions on anything.
Mm. I come from a different... I agree with you, but I come from a different place. Like, I think leaks are incredibly important, you know, in terms of it being a journalistic medium to give it some sort of, you know... Video games are pretty much the only journalistic thing that's sort of beholden to publishers. You know what I mean? Like... But holding to like some sort of marketing by somebody else, like any other sort of news, any other sort of journalism, they're like, no, we're going to leak this because it's important to know. But granted, we don't have like fucking Watergate or anything, you know, in games. But see, that's where like Jason Schreier actually leaks important information and important things.
Mm.
Where leaks about when a game's coming out is really unimportant. But to me, it's one of those things. It's like the stressing of the importance of other leaks, the big ones that matter. You're gonna have to get these shitty ones too.
Yeah. Okay.
But from a consumer like myself, to kind of take the fun out of it for me, I'm like, oh, like, hey, next week they're announcing this game. I'm like, you've just announced it for me, you fuck. Although you're a random dude on the internet who does, you know, like I said, until we get some sort of official confirmation, I'm skeptical enough now and cynical enough to be like, it's probably not true.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, it kind of... What I miss and what I love is when it just comes out of fucking nowhere and you get some great information. Like, as an example. So, the simplest example. Like, I remember 2 years ago watching Sony's E3 conference because, I, you know, I love Batman, so, and I love the Arkham games. And, they'll, and you know, Rocksteady had been like, we're never doing another Arkham game. Batman is done to us. We are done. Watching that conference, they're doing the little VR section. They announce Arkham VR. Like, you hear Mark Hamill's voice. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? I'm watching it on my phone. I'm like, what the fuck? And then you see Batman, then it says Arkham VR. I'm like, get out! How did no one say anything about it? This is insane!
Mm.
That is the feeling that I love. That is why I love conferences, because you get that feeling. And it's, and when someone's like, hey, here's the entire Sony conference before it happens, I'm like, fuck. Mind you, I don't read them on purpose.
Yeah,
but...
I don't know. I don't really get that feeling. Yeah. I don't care about anything enough where it's like, you know, and here's this, and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, sure, I get excited for things I haven't heard of before, but if I heard about them 2 weeks earlier, I mean, cool.
Mm.
It gives me, if anything, it gives me something to look forward to. Someone's like, oh, so-and-so is doing this, and they're going to announce it in 2 weeks with the trailer. It's like, fucking sweet, in 2 weeks we had a trailer for this cool thing.
But I think it also comes from our position as well is, you know, because we've been you know, in this mess for a couple of years now, doing what we do. Like, I am pretty cynical to announcements. I'm pretty cynical to it all. So, like, having something that actually genuinely excites me, I'm like, oh, crap. All right, cool.
That'd be nice.
A lot of the time, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, okay, cool.
Mm.
But, like, to actually have, you know, to have something that kind of punched me, I'm like, yeah, what?
To be honest, the journalism kind of thing sickens me a little bit.
In what way?
Because this is just journalism as a whole. Yeah. Not just gaming, but, you know, who can get it out first?
Yes.
Who can coerce information out of someone, you know, on a lower rung that, you know, isn't quite sure about what they can and can't say, and they get coerced out of them? Mm. You know, the actual, like, the dirty journalism of it.
What? No,
Which people will call real journalism. Mm. But I think they're two very different.
No, I think there's two definitions there. I think you're referring to people pulling out information without viably checking sources and then just publishing something that's either unconfirmed or unsubstantiated.
Mm.
That just to get out first. That I disagree with. But if someone comes out with an article that this is the information, it's been corroborated by three different sources from these places, like, there's enough research here to run this properly.
Yeah, but how often does that actually happen?
Games? Very rarely. It very rarely happens fucking now in just journalism generally, right?
And an inside source says that means fucking nothing. It could be Uncle Bert down in the trailer park.
Open sentence. Like, think about there. Remember when the Boeing plane went down?
Mm.
Like, someone quote unquote leaked the list of the pilots to this news station.
Oh yeah, it's like something
wrong. Yeah. Oh my god! You know what I mean, like, all these, and like, they ran it as news because they wanted to be first.
Yeah.
That is the journalism I disagree with. And when you work,
it was fucking hilarious.
It was fantastic. And a 24-hour news cycle that we do now, this is where I start tangenting here, but like, that's the problem that we're dealing with. And we're in the internet where everything happens nice and quick. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be first. Like, we looked at this the other day, actually, when it came down to, like, we're talking about magazines, because I used to buy the PlayStation magazine constantly, like Game Informer, before the internet really sort of like took off with all the sites and everything. So you know, reading it, like, I bought one the other week because it had cool God of War stuff in it. And I'm like, reading it, I'm like, I mean, I know all this stuff. Like, none of this is new.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember I read going, oh my God, just reading all of it because it was just all new information.
Plus, you get posters and cool demo discs and stuff. You don't get demo discs
anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I mean, like, so in that side, I miss that. The leaks take away from that, yeah. But people that consume by leaks, people as in, like, the internet as a populace, like, it creates that fever, like, that punch. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Craig asked a question in the group this week off this topic about, you know, leaks and like real leaks and pretend leaks.
Mm.
In terms of, think about, it's in movies, but remember when that the Deadpool little trailer dropped and everyone was like, that's a really good looking trailer. And it was like, oh, we think Fox leaked it to do a test.
Mm.
Like, not to be like, ooh, someone actually leaked it. Like, I'm going to pretend to leak this for some cool shit.
Yeah, yeah, there's that too. And that can be really clever.
If done right,
but unfortunately not many people do it right. And, you know, leaks lead to hype, and hype normally leads to disappointment. Sales and sales lead to disappointment. Because, you know, you hear a leak about a game and you're like, fuck yeah. Then the hype comes and you're like, yeah, I can't wait till they actually talk about it. And they talk about it and you're like, that's not quite what the leak said it was.
And that's the downside to the leak as well, because the leak is obviously about the game at that particular time, right? So if it comes out, you know, 3 months after that information was obtained, it's like, yes, yeah, not the game that we made. Like, we trashed all that. Like, that was all speculative stuff.
Yeah, that was all like, the test phase. What do they call it when they're just like throwing everything around?
Like pre-production, just sort of like spitballing, brainwashing.
Yeah, spitballing. Yeah, we're just spitballing. We thought that might have been cool, but it's not.
Well, even think, it was once again reading Jason Schreier's book. They talk about how when the thing was Halo, they're making Halo Wars, like the RTS.
Mm.
They're like, they had this grand scope and plan, and then they had to like pull it back. Same as Dragon Age Inquisition, they're like, we want to do this, this, and this, but you know, with our Dragon, the second one, Dragon Age Origins 2, not doing so well.
Yeah.
They didn't get enough resources as they needed, so they had to scale everything back. Mm-hmm. No, sorry, I mean Dragon Age 2 and then Dragon Age, The whole idea is there was times where they're like, we'll do this.
Yeah.
And then as production goes ahead, they're like, oh, we've got to pull that, we've got to reshape that, we've got to bring that together with that. And like, so if any of that information was leaked, people...
Basically, if you take leaks with a grain of salt, you'll never be disappointed.
That's it.
It either turns out to be true and you're like, fuck yeah, or it turns out to be false and you're like, oh, I didn't really believe it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the lesson here. And I think we've learned that lesson the hard way over the last few years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we were young and dumb and had that spark in our eyes and the passion to do anything, you know, it was all fun and stuff.
They're old now.
After a few years, it's just like, you know, this person on Reddit reckons, you know, Uncharted 27 is coming out tomorrow. We'll wait and see.
I just want more. This is why I like short release cycles. Mm. You know, as I said, the 3-month turnaround. Like, you're like, hey, this is where it's coming, and then I have to worry about it. And there's not enough time to leak information between then and then.
Yeah, but it's the nature of the industry. You're always going to have people just wanting to, like, you know, for whatever reason, you know, get that little bit of information out first, who are willing to sell it.
I still don't get that.
People who are willing to sell information to, you know, journalists or whatever else. It's just the nature of the business. And it's you can't develop a whole game on a AAA scale and announce it when it's 3 months from an actual date.
Mm.
Other than Bethesda sometimes.
Well, this is the thing, because I thought, as far as I was aware, I don't remember there being a teaser thing for Fallout 4. All I remember is watching that conference and like, Fallout 4 comes out in November. I'm like, what the fuck? It's Fallout 4 and it's really soon?
Yeah.
So they had like a teaser thing that I just didn't pay attention to.
Yeah. I think Skyrim was in a similar boat. Skyrim just showed up at the
Game Awards.
Yeah.
See, that.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's probably the last time I was actually excited about anything in my life. So.
Oh.
No, but. It is cool when they can do it, but I don't think in today's day and age, you can't. Mm. You can't do it. Could you imagine if when we got the God of War date last month that we hadn't heard it existed until that point?
My mind would have blown.
Could you imagine?
I would be insane.
But it can't be done anymore.
I wish it could.
Even with Sony's most trusted companies, it can't be done.
God, I wish it could. Wouldn't that just be the greatest thing ever?
Back in the day, it might be possible because... You know, without the internet, obviously, you know, the info comes from magazines and all that. And if you don't read the magazines, then you don't fucking know.
Mm.
So, you know, but yeah, in today's day and age, it can't be done. But it would be amazing if it could be. Like, could you imagine February? No, in January, they're like, God of War coming out in 3 months. What the fuck? And then in February, they're like, brand new IP, Detroit Become Human coming out in May. What?
This is insane!
Yeah, and in like, let's say July, they're like, oh, Insomniac made a new Spider-Man game coming out in November. You know, and it would be awesome. But it's just not the day and age we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a bummer. And it never will again, I don't think, either.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we'll ever turn around to a time where leaks aren't a thing, where, you know...
Can we call this episode Taking a Leak?
You want to?
Fuck yes.
Oh, I can make a thumbnail that matches that now.
Just a big, veiny dick.
Pissing.
Yeah, with like... like game covers getting pissed out of it.
Oh, nice.
You know, like Last of Us, God of War.
I was going to go with that, you know, thing you see on the back of Utes, the guy with the kill, and then something like holding, pissing on forwards and shit. I was going to use that, but then just have it, and then like Shadow Tomb Raider or something. I don't know.
I think you can have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe push the boundaries a little bit. But,
yeah. Clickbait.
Yeah.
But anyway, Shadow Tomb Raider comes out later this year. Let us know what you think of the leaks and like something that you get hyped for. Do you believe them? Do you disbelieve in them, like let us know what you think. Is it a detriment to the industry? Comment below, let us know, and we'll I'll be in those comments chatting away with you. So whoever comments, I will answer, guaranteed.
Here's how much I use Twitter.
You have 89 notifications ready to see. Wow. I think because Dave Chatteroy tagged you or something.
Oh, every couple of days it's like, hey, you've got 40, you got 50 now, you've got 60, please come back.
Snapchat used to do that to me. I'm like, you lost this streak. I'm like, I had a streak?
Yeah.
So I deleted the app.
Yeah, I've deleted Snapchat. I would delete Instagram, but I can't, so I've just logged out of it.
Why can't you?
It's like stock app on the phone.
Oh, weird.
Same as Facebook, can't get rid of it. So I've logged out of Instagram. I've been meaning to log out of Twitter. Yeah. Fuck socials. What happened to me, man? I used to be...
You used to be cool.
Happy.
Used to do things. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's because you don't go out and do things. We need to fix that. We need to get you out.
No, thanks.
We'll try a little
bit. Could find me a way out as we head into the drop for this week.
And a section we called Coming to the Players. Games that are coming to you this week.
How good was that? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good segue.
Stop me when you want to talk. I'm sure you're going to stop me straight away. A Way Out, PS4 digital and retail. A prison spree co-op adventure from directors of Brothers. A Tale of Two Sons.
This is the dude that got super drunk or super high at the Game Awards and was like, fuck the Oscars. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I couldn't watch it.
I couldn't watch it.
I got halfway through it, and I had to turn it off.
The cringe hurt. So I last I heard, Paul James from Player 2 and I were going to stream and play this together. That's the last I heard of it. It kind of snuck up on me in terms of release.
It's out on Friday.
It's on Friday. So we may do it Saturday. We'll see how we go.
Oh, actually, I got to talk to you about next Saturday.
Oh, can't you do it?
It's Alex's birthday party.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll bring Paul in.
Yeah, that works. I can get the news together and stuff for you. Otherwise, we'll have to do it Friday night.
Which we do Friday night. Friday nights now.
Wow.
And the next week's Tomb Raider. Done.
It's Alex's birthday on Sunday.
I'll talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, if you're watching this, you want to come round and record for the players on Saturday? We can play a way out. Done.
Arc Park PSVR Digital and Retail. This Arc Park is a virtual reality adventure allowing players to get up close and personal with dinosaurs.
Yeah, so James, one of our community members, did ask about this, what we thought about it, which would be pretty cool. I'm interested. I like Ark. One of the coolest part about Arcs is the dinosaurs. And
is it actually from like Ark developers?
Yeah, it's actually. Okay. Because the Ark developers are spending more time doing everything but developing their actual game.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to check it out. It's probably going to be janky as shit. I like dinosaurs, so I'm probably in.
Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. Assault Gunners HD. I should be saying where they're coming. Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered PS4 Digital. Assault Gunners HD Edition PS4 Digital. Attack on Titan 2 PS4 Digital and Retail. Audio Beats PSVR Digital. Don't Bite Me Bro PS4 Digital. Earthlock Festival of Magic PS4 Digital. Floor Plan PSVR Digital. Lunar Stone Origin of Blood PSVR Digital. Mahjong Gold PS4
Digital. There's many Mahjong games that are coming out.
Minefield PS4 Digital. Neuro Voider PS Vita Digital. Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom PS4 Digital and Retail.
That game tickled your interest?
No.
Not me either.
Number 1 did. I never got to play it, but number 1 tickled me in a great way. But after playing this at EB, it just didn't really do it.
But yeah, so our buddy Joel at anitgame.com, he'll be doing a review. He's playing it this morning, actually.
He's not under any embargo. You just broke or anything?
No, because it came up the same. Like his PlayStation ID says, you know, Joel, playing Ni No Kuni.
I realized I was appearing offline for a month because of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
So I had to appear offline while I was playing it before release. And nearly 2 months actually I was appearing offline.
Yeah,
to the point when you were trying to invite me in Monster Hunter, I'm like, why can't he see me? And then I went, I was on appear offline. And it must have been from the end of January.
As you can tell, you were devastated.
Yeah, I was really sad about that. All the invites that I don't get. Octahedron, PS4 Digital, RBI Baseball 18, PS4 Digital. What is that?
That's not MLB The Show.
No, it's not. MLB The Show is not on the list.
Oh, might be the week after then.
Titan Quest. Didn't last year it come out with Far Cry and...
May have.
Something? Titan Quest, PS4 Digital and Retail, Velocity 2X Critical Mass Edition, PS4 and PS Vita Digital and Retail, and Where Are My Friends, PS4 Digital. And World of Warriors PS4 Digital.
I could swear MLB was this week. It must be next week. Actually, no, so it's the 23rd, I think. When is it?
27th.
Okay, so it's coming out the same day as Far Cry.
Suck a dick.
Oh, fuck. That's going to suck. That's going to suck real bad.
Yeah. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australia Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you, like your son screaming is interesting me at the moment.
Yeah, he's gone nuts, isn't he? But if you want to show your love of pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, phone covers, bags, pillowcases, not hats, anything that you need to show your pop culture love. All there. Well, love stuff. But anyways, until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.